Hey, man. How are we doing this morning? Good. Everybody awake? How many of you went on and sat on your front porch this morning while you drank your coffee? Two of you. All right, we have winners. Man, what a beautiful morning. I didn't either. It sounded like a nice thing to have done. I was told if I drank coffee, it'd put hair on my chest, so I stayed away from it. It happened anyway, so I drink coffee now. But man, I want to welcome you guys here this morning. I'm having way too much information. I apologize. But I want to welcome you here this morning. If Matt was here, we'd spend 20 minutes welcoming you and telling you how awesome it is that you're here. But so I'll try my part of it. But man, welcome here this morning. I'm glad you're here. If you're a guest here, this is your first time. I am not the pastor of this church. But I'm like a far-reaching second place, but I help fill in when he's not here. My name's James Butchery. I grew up in this town. I went to school here. My parents still live here, and some of you may know my mom, their group, the New Horizons. They do the big singing every year, the Gospel Spectacular. As a kid growing up, we called it the Gospel Spectacle. That was just what we called it as a kid growing up. But so I got to grow up in that. I was spoon-fed Southern gospel music my whole life. And so I'm used to that. But I grew up with a lot of those people there and used to roam the streets with a lot of those kids on Friday night. That they're now singing on stage. So it's an interesting change, turn of events. But like I said, I want to welcome you here this morning, and I'm glad you're here. You're my personal guest. My wife said we'll take you all to lunch after church is over. Church paying for it, though, but we'll take you to lunch. But no, if you're new here, if it's your first week, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing. Just come up and say hi to me. I would love to get to meet you. I know that's probably going to make Matt mad that I said that, but I want to do that. I want to meet you. I want to know who you are. So if you'll do that for me, I'd appreciate it. I'd love to get a chance to talk with you. But I was wondering what to wear today. Because I was told one time that rednecks wear flannel shirts and camouflage hats. That's what rednecks wear. And I always wear flannel shirts and camouflage hat. So I thought, well, I must be a redneck. So I thought, you know what, Matt always dresses to the nines. He always looks really nice. He has really nice clothes. So I'm going to come and I'm going to raid his office, because he's got a virtual smorgasbord of clothes to pick from in his office. And so I put one of his shirts on, and it was like a belly shirt. And I said, no, this is not appropriate for anybody to have to experience. So I decided I'll wear my flannel and the camouflage hats in the truck. So redneck will happen shortly. But, well, like they said, I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to continue on in that series, and so we'll dig right in. I don't know about you guys, but I like fruit. I like most fruit. This time of year is one of my favorite times of year. Fruit are blooming, fruit are growing. You have tomatoes just falling off your vines, and I'm not going to get in an argument whether if tomatoes are fruit or not. We can have that argument later, but I love fruit. I love almost any kind of fruit. We get a box of fruit a week from a place in Waynesville. We go up every week and buy this giant box of different types of fruit, and cherries and grapes and strawberries, and I mean, just, you know, just the good stuff. And I love fruit. I love cherries. I love the black cherries, or some people say the red cherries, but they've got that hard little seed inside of them. I love cherries. I love apples. Only green ones, not the red ones. Those are disgusting. I love peaches. Man, from where I'm from down south, they say it makes you want to slap your mama. I tell you, peaches are good. You got that, you bite into that. Make myself hungry thinking about it. You bite into that perfect peach, perfectly ripe peach, and that juice just dripping down your face, you know, dripping off your chin. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen from the crowd? All right, we know what I'm talking about. Watermelon, by far one of my kids' favorite fruits, and cantaloupe has now been self-proclaimed my son's new favorite fruit. And so we tear up fruit in our house. But one of the things that I learned or that I paid attention to this week about fruit, all of my favorite fruit have one thing in common. There is a hardened pit in the center. There's a part of that fruit that cannot be eaten. You know, inside of a cantaloupe, there's that hairy stuff. I don't know what that is, but there's that hairy stuff in those seeds. You know, you don't eat that. Inside of a pumpkin, we've got a video of Sawyer, our 6-year-old, screaming because he stuck his hand inside of a pumpkin and pulled the slime out. What is it? But they all have this hardened part in the center. And so this week, as I prepared, thank you a lot, Matt Taylor, he gave me the two fruit of the Spirit that I probably struggle with the most. The first being joy, the last one that I spoke on, and this one being gentleness. I'm about 6'2", 6'3", depending on which convenience store I'm leaving, and I'm about 275 pounds, and there's not many gentle bones in my body. I don't do gentleness very well. I've always said that I'm a very straightforward, a very loud talker. If you want to know where I stand on something, listen to me long enough and you'll hear, because I'll come at you head on with it. I don't have a problem telling you my opinion. I've always kind of hid behind that. And this week, it bit me in the butt on Tuesday after I was told on Sunday that I was preaching about gentleness. Isn't it funny how that happens that way? But as I thought about these fruit with this hardened center, I think sometimes in our life we have stuff that happens to us, and we have life situations and things that we go through, and we begin to wrap around it this hard exterior shell, and we put this hard exterior shell on there to protect it. We go through life situations and we get hurt in our life by a parent or by a spouse or by a friend in school. And we wrap this hard exterior shell around that part of us, whether it's love or whether it's gentleness or whether it's a helpfulness or whatever it is. We wrap that hard shell around it to protect it. And so this happens to be one of those areas in my life that I wrap a hard shell around. Gentleness, because if I can come at you first, and if I'm clear in how I handle you, and if I'm straightforward in how I deal with you, I don't have to question whether or not you understand what I'm saying. And that doesn't come across very gentle a lot of times. And so this idea of gentleness is something that I struggle with. And so when Matt told me about it, we both had a good laugh about it and thought, okay, let's see this happen. Here we are. So let's read Galatians 5 together, 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, we've been in this study for, this is the 8th week that we've studied on the fruit of the Spirit. And next week we'll end the fruit of the Spirit series. We'll have been in it 9 weeks. And I had to ask the question, we were talking this morning, my wife and I, why would we spend 9 weeks over 2 verses? Why is it that 2 verses are so critical that we would spend 9 weeks? And I was baffled by this whenever I heard that we were doing this summer, and I began to prepare. Why would we spend 9 weeks? And as I began to think about it, I began to look at it and say, you know, the 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit spell out the key to understanding God's perspective on who we ought to be. The Bible says that whenever we become a new creation, that when we accept Christ inside of us and he comes in and makes us a new person, and that the old man dies and the new man is now alive, that we become a new creation. And in that new creation, we get a spirit that comes and that comes down and dwells inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, we have these attributes that we are supposed to take on. And it's these 9 attributes, this fruit of that Spirit. And so I began to think about what the word fruit, what does this word fruit mean? Well, the word fruit means end product or result. You don't plant a tomato bush and then have a fruit on there. No, it takes time. I don't know if you know much about a peach tree or not, but we'll get into how nerdy I am later. And peach trees take up to 4 years to get your first fruit from. And when you get your first set of fruit from a peach tree after potentially 4 years, you might only get 2 or 3 peaches your first year. That's not really great yields for so much work that you have to work the ground and you've got to do all of this stuff every year to this peach tree. You got to constantly be trimming. You trim it in the spring and you trim it in the fall. And you do all this work and you're putting this fertilizer and you're breaking the soil to aerate it. And you're doing all of this work to make this peach tree survive to get 3 or 4 peaches after 4 years. Seems like an awful lot of work. And I think that the result of this Spirit dwelling inside of us, the result, the end product of the Spirit living inside of us and dwelling inside of us should be these 9 attributes. These 9 attributes. So this is God's expectation for us. God expects that when we become a new creation that we take on the attributes of his Son. He says in Romans 8:29, he says that being conformed to the likeness of his own Son. We are to be conformed to his likeness. These are building blocks of human purpose. Purpose begins with being conformed to the likeness of Christ. So that's why it's important for us to study this. And see, I think the world, it gives us a different concept of man's purpose. Man's purpose, according to the world, starts and begins and ends with man. It begins and ends with what we decide to do. Our purpose is driven from within inside of us. And God says, no, your purpose is driven within being more like my Son. But taking on these attributes of my Son. That's how your purpose is defined. Another word that we see in the Bible for gentleness is meekness. If you look in a King James version and you read in Matthew, you'll see that it says that I am meekness is another word for gentleness. We see it used over and over in place of. And I don't know about you, but as a guy, when I hear the word meekness, I think weakness. Whenever I think about being gentle, I think about being weak. And I think it's wrong, but I think that's what I see. And whenever I think about strength, when I think about strength as a whole, I look at my dad, and my dad was a big guy. And my dad, I remember his hands being bigger than my head because I remember he had to grab it a lot and, you know, make me do stuff. And, you know, he could reach his arm around the whole church and thump me in the back of the head when I was messing up. That was dad. Dad was the epitome of strength. Dad could pick up anything. It didn't matter if there was not a jar too tight in our house that dad couldn't rip the lid off of. There wasn't nothing that dad could do. When I thought about strength, I think of my own father. And I see that. Dad could lift a house. You know, he could pick up the whole house himself. That was dad as a kid. I think of strength and I think of him. I think of being able to do these things. We've got a guy that we call Thor that helps us set up the tent that we set up. And this guy can grab a sledgehammer and he can drive a 4-foot-long stake in like one swing. Just whap, and this thing just sinks down in the ground. Nothing to it. And I think of strength. I think of that. I think of Drew and, you know, I don't know how that guy buys clothes big enough to fit him, but you know, Drew, the big bodybuilder guy. I think when I think of strength, that's what I think of. I don't think of meekness. I don't think of gentleness. There's not much, you know, that I think I see Drew grab a hold of and I think, you know what, he's going to destroy that. But I don't think of gentleness when I think of strength. But as I studied this week and as I began to look into this, I think God's perspective of gentleness is so much different. I think it's so much different that gentleness should be defined as strength under control. Gentleness should be defined at its root as strength under control, because you want to have real strength. You want to have the ability to crush whatever that you want, but not have to. You want to have the ability to pick up your hurting child and to be able to hold them in your arms. And that's gentleness, but they rely on that strength that comes. Gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness is comfort. Gentleness is safety. Your children, They come to bed with you in the middle of the night because they're scared. And they come to your bed. There's something about mom and dad's bedroom, mom and dad's bed. I don't know why it always smells funny. And you know the sheets don't get washed because their bedroom gets pushed to the back. All the other kids' bedrooms have to be washed first. You know, there's something about their bed, though. You know what I mean? You walk into mom and dad's bedroom, even at 30 years old, I bet I could walk into mom and dad's bedroom and still be able to sleep in their bed and feel comfort. Probably not. It'd be uncomfortable. But, you know, I think my kids, you know, my daughter sits here on the front row, and she does still, you know, and nothing scares the daylight out of you waking up and seeing this black silhouette of something going, Daddy, you know. Oh, boy, sends it through you. But there's a comfort there. They don't come to your bed because their bed's not warm enough. They don't come to your bed for any other reason than because they're scared and they're looking for comfort. And you are strong enough to protect them. There's strength, there's comfort, there's safety that comes, and there's rest that comes in gentleness. Your kids and your spouse, they rest in your gentleness. You want to learn how to deal with your wife, 12 years of failing at this miserably. You want to learn how to deal with your wife, speak to her gently. Talk to her gently. Touch her gently. This is still PG, I promise. But just approach her gently, and there will be a completely different way things go. Gentleness is comfort. It's safety. It's rest. This week, as I prepared, I want to make sure that it's clear that I prepared this message out of a place of brokenness, out of a place of failure. Gentleness, like I said earlier, is not something that I come from under my own strength. It's not something. Some of us are gifted with some of these gifts. You know, some of us, like Matt, you know, I think he'd be on American Idol and he'd be like, oh, that was wonderful. I just loved listening to you sing. And we'd all be like, who'd you hear? Because, you know, he's just got that gift. He's just naturally got that gift of encouragement. He's just naturally able to just take a bad situation and make it better. And he can make you in a rough situation feel good about yourself and where your situation is in your life. That's a natural gift. Gentleness is not an area that I come at naturally. Honesty, I might have that one down. But gentleness is not. So I want to be clear that I'm coming at this from a place of brokenness and from a place of not getting it. But gentleness speaks in to relationships in three areas, I felt like. They speak first off in your relationship with God, second off in your relationship with others, and third off with your relationship with yourself. So that's what we're going to go through today. Let's look at that. A gentle spirit in my relationship with God is a sign of trust. If you want to start your relationship off with God right, you'll have a spirit of trust in your relationship. Gentleness, in as its definition is defined as a form of submission. Gentleness in and of itself speaks to a sign of submission. When you submit to God, then there's a gentle response that happens there. If your relationship with God is not quite where you want it, then I think you'd have to look at your submission level with God, where you're at, how you're submitted to Him. It's a full submission to Him. I don't have strength of my own to do this. God has a plan for my life. God has a design for my life. If I have full submission to Him, it's His plan. He's in charge. He's directing my path. Then this gentleness in our relationship, this submission in our relationship begins to happen. But it's not very long before things start going well. It's not very long before things are going good. And all of a sudden, we begin to try to take control back for ourselves, right? Our business is going really well. We own our own business. And in May, it was going really well. And we thought, all right, you know, God's blessing us. He provided and we're doing and we're working and we're plugging away and we're doing all this stuff. And then June came and it's like the floor fell out and there wasn't any work at all. Like we had no work, no income coming in, nothing. And so what's the first thing that you do? Well, if you're living your life right and you have full submission unto God, then you spend that time and you pray and you talk to God and you know, but that's not reality. At least not for me. Reality for me is, okay, what do I need to do? All right. Well, I need to go out and I need to start talking to people and I need to start working and I need to, maybe I need to go get a job. Has it gotten to that point yet? Do I need to get another job outside of the house? Do I need, you know, I began to figure things out. I begin to work the details myself. And then it gets to the point where you're looking at yourself and you're going, okay, we've reached bottom now. How much longer do I, you know, the floor's falling out. Where do I go from here now? And then we reach this point to where we're finally like, God, help. Unfortunately, we didn't get to that point in our life in June, but I'm just saying that's kind of how we work this relationship. We wait until we get to that bottom point to where we have nowhere else to go but up. We've reached bottom. We have nowhere else to go but up. And then we decide that then that's when we want to rely on God. That's when we'll be submissive. God, when there's nothing else for that I can do to make this any better or worse, now I'll rely on you. That's how I handle it. I may be the only one. Like I said, I might be preaching to myself this morning. Matt said that was okay. That's what submission to God looks like. It's learning that God has a plan, that he's in charge, that he has things for us. I feel in control sometimes. I feel like that I have things under control and that I know what I'm doing. And then sometimes I feel like I've lost all control, that I'm losing my mind, that I've lost all control of everything. And the reality is that I'm only fooling myself to ever think that I fully have any control of anything. And it's always funny in that dark moment when I'm at the bottom of that pit, of that moment. I'll use the word pit. It never was that bad, but when you're at the bottom of yourself and you don't know how else you're going to provide, and you finally get to yourself and you get inside yourself and you say, God, I need you to take this control of the situation. It's been incredible to see how within the next couple of minutes we get a phone call or I get a text message or I get an email from a client or something like that. And all of a sudden, somebody that I talked to a month ago, they're ready to sign a contract and bring a deal on. And it's always when I get to that point where I finally submit myself and I say, you know what, God, I'm not going to try to run this anymore. I'm not going to try to do this anymore. It's happened over and over. Next, I think we look at gentleness towards others. This is an area that I had a chance. I was blessed this week with a chance to fail miserably at this. I had talked to Matt on Sunday about preaching today and he said, you know, you're preaching on gentleness and James, we both know you well enough to know, this should be interesting. By Tuesday I'd already failed. I'd already messed up. I got into this silly argument. At the time it wasn't silly, but now looking back, it was a silly argument with a staff member. That was just over something so silly. And for some reason, I didn't handle it, any of it, with any kind of gentleness, with any kind of control at all. And so I had to come to this point of brokenness where I got called to the carpet and Matt brought me in and we began to talk about it. And I seen it and we reconciled the situation and it's reconciled now. And it was after the conversation where me and Matt are sitting there and Matt's going, you know, buddy, what's going on with you? Now, we didn't sit on any, I didn't lay on a couch or nothing and have none of those. Tell me what your feelings are. We didn't go there, but he was talking to me about that deep inside part. Because my gentleness towards other people, I think sometimes is connected to that shell I was telling you about a little bit ago. Because in my life, you know, and I'm sure as in most of yours, I've been hurt in different areas and I've been different through different struggles and I've put up with different things that were hard to handle, and especially as a young child and going through different life scenarios. And I put a shell around parts of that, and love was one of those areas that my wife has stuck with me for 12 years through hell and high water to learn how to break through that shell of how to love me and how I love back. And we've worked through that and we've had to fight through those battles. And pray for a good wife for your kids and grandkids. That's very important. I'm blessed with an incredible wife. that's put up with way more than anybody ever should have. Plug that, but get those brownie points now. But it's that tough exterior, that tough shell that we wrap around those things. And gentleness is one of those things that I do. I wrap that tough shell around that, and I want to protect that, because that area of my life for some reason got hurt, and that area of my life, I try to protect it. You know, and Matt said, you know, James, we have to begin to break through that tough shell. And we've got to let that seed go, so they can begin to grow, can germinate, and it can begin to produce fruit in your life, this fruit of gentleness in your life. So I think that your fruit in your life, this gentleness in your life towards other people, I think it can begin to be affected by how, the next point, how we're gentle with ourselves. I think we're not very gentle with ourselves. I know it sounds kind of corny to think about how to be gentle with yourself, you know, but I think it's probably the hardest one. I think it's the most difficult. I believe that it's the root of the gentleness with the rest. I believe that the root of the root of gentleness problem with others, and the root of gentleness between you and God, is a matter of how you treat yourself. I know for me, I blame myself for things that happened when I was a child. I blame myself for my parents separating. I blame myself for things that happened. I blame myself for family members. And I wrap myself in that shell to protect. And I've pushed people away. And I've hurt relationships. And I've hurt my marriage. And I've hurt jobs. I've left jobs because when the situations get a little too tough, sometimes it's easy if I can be the first to cut. If I don't have to get cut, then it doesn't have to hurt me as bad. If I can cut you first and end it, sever all ties and go ahead and burn all those bridges, then I don't have a past there that I have to relive in. I don't have to remember that past. It's that shell we wrap around our feelings to protect them. As I was talking to Matt, this went a lot deeper than I meant for it to. As I talked to Matt about what he was going to preach on, for this series, he said he was going to preach in Matthew. And so I wanted to kind of read you where he was at. And he was in Matthew 11, verse 28. And they'll have it up on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you today. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up your yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for yourself. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tuesday, after I got called to the carpet by Matt, and Matt's very loving and gracious, and he says love covers a multitude of sins, so I still have a few more to go. But he said, you know, go home and read this verse and think about it. This is what I was going to preach on. It's, I tell you what, I went home and I read that. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I read that in every translation that I own. I read it in everything. I even went to the Message, and that's not something I typically will ever read, but I went to the Message and read it in there. I was trying to find an angle that God could speak to me through, and I wanted to find something there, but you know what I kept running into? I kept running into this rest. Rest. God will give you rest for your soul. It's in it. It's in every version. It doesn't matter what translation I read. It's in there. God will give you rest. As I thought about gentleness this week, I thought, you know, man, I'm tired. I told Matt Tuesday, I said, Matt, you don't understand, man. I'm writing this message out of a place of emptiness. I'm empty when it comes to gentleness. This isn't in my wheelhouse. This isn't in my toolbox. Everything's a hammer and everything's a nail, and I want to just bang on it and get it over with. And I'm empty when it comes to this idea of gentleness. And he says, read Matthew. He doesn't even know that he did. But I went home and I read that. You can ask my wife. I got a stack of Bibles next to my bed. I got every one of them open up to Matthew. I was trying to find something. And Friday, God began to speak to me, and he says, James, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give your burden, weary soul, I will give you rest. This verse talks about a yoke, and we don't know much about yokes, unless you're yoking with me. I don't know what you're talking about, but yokes are these wooden collars that we would put on animals, and we would use them to, I say we as if I had any part of it. I'm a city boy. I never did anything in the country. We have tractors nowadays, though, that do this job for us. We don't strap yokes onto animals, but one thing that I read this week is that it's an interesting fact that what they would do is they would take an oxen, a big brood of an oxen, and they would take a young oxen that they were teaching, and they would strap them together into a yoke. And you wouldn't do this very long, because if you did, you would end up having curvy lines, because one would pull stronger than the other. But what they would do is they'd put this young oxen in with an older oxen so they could teach them how to pull. They would teach them how to pull so that they would learn how to be strapped into this thing, and that they would learn all the right ways to pull, and that once they got tired, that it'd be okay, because the big oxen would take the load. They would take that weight off of their shoulders, and they would be able to do the pulling for them. And it wouldn't be up to that young oxen anymore to figure it out on his own. He would have that older, wiser oxen to do the work with him. And as I read that, God gently began to prick my heart and say, you're tired. You got a lot of life going on right now. Take my yoke upon you, and you can learn from me. Let's strap up together, big boy. Let's put it on there. Let's go at this work you've got together. You know, you've got a lot of work. I've got a lot of stuff I need to work on. I need to work on my joy still. If you guys heard my message, you know my life story a little bit. I need to work on that still. God's still dealing with me in that. I need to work on love. I need to learn how to love more. I need to work on my gentleness. These are all areas. And God's saying, you know, man, we've got a lot of work. But you're teachable and you're interested in learning. Let's strap up together. And you can learn from me, and we'll do this work together. And when you get tired, hey, it's okay. In my yoke, you can find rest. You'll find rest in my yoke. Strap up to me, and you'll find that rest for your soul that you're looking for. One last story. I'll try to make it quick. Like I said, I'm a nerd. I love fruit. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to learn how to germinate fruit. We wanted to learn how to germinate peach trees. And that was one of the things we wanted to do. And so what do nerds do? You read a book. And that's what we did. We decided, well, reading takes too long. So we're going to watch YouTube instead. Let somebody else read for us. So that night we ate dinner. Friday night, eat pizza. That's what we do. That's how predictable we are. Friday nights we eat pizza. And so that Friday night we sat down in front of the TV and we turned on YouTube and we looked how to germinate. And that's where I learned a lot about peaches. You take a peach pit and you put it in some dirt and cover it over with some rotten leaves, and you put it into a fridge for 2 to 3 weeks. Let it sit in there in that fridge for 2 to 3 weeks. Then you take it out and put it into the hot sun, and it will sprout. Something about the simulating the season changes, the cold weather, the dead foliage of the trees falling on top of them. All of those things simulate that life cycle that happens. And so then that fruit begins to break out. One of the things that it said is that you have a 1 in 4 chance of that fruit surviving. That you have almost a 99% chance of that fruit surviving if you take that hole and you crack it open and you pull the seed on the inside of that pit. If you pull that seed out and you plant that seed directly, you have almost a 99% chance of that seed surviving. So, as God broke my heart this week on Friday, as I spent 4 hours in my chair writing, this became overwhelming to me. that I have these hardened parts inside of me that I have taken and I have wrapped up in this hard exterior shell. And then, and inside of there, there's a seed that wants to get out. And there's inside of there, there's a seed that I want to get out. I want to live a life of love. I want to live a life of joy. I want to live a life of gentleness. I don't want my kids to be scared of me. I don't want my wife to regret marrying me. I want to live a life that can be exemplary of the Holy Spirit. I want to live in that freedom. I want to live in that joy and in that comfort and in that safety and that security that comes through the Holy Spirit. I want to live in that. But I've wrapped so much of this up inside that hard exterior to protect myself. And God began to break me on Friday. And he said, James, if you would allow me to snap, crack those open and get that seed out of there, if you would allow me to just come in there. And we tried it. It's not as easy as you would think to get those pried open. They're not intended to be opened. But by nature, I took my pocket knife and we cracked one open and got that seed out. And it was a lot more work than I thought it would be. But even in that, God revealed to me, he said, James, I want to crack open those tough spots in your heart. I want to crack open that tough shell. And I want to bring those seeds out in you. And I want to plant them in the ground. You know, and it may take me 4 or 5 years. It may take 4 or 5 years before I see a fruit off of that tree. But you know what? I'm going to see it growing. And I'm going to continue to prune it. And I'm going to continue to work it. And I'm going to continue to put manure all over it. So sometimes you're going to stink. And you're going to mess up. And I'm going to continue to just to work that soil and work that into you. But in a few years, I will have taken that out of that brokenness and I will have that seed and it will begin a new life inside of you and you will begin to grow those fruit. So today I want to ask you where you're at. Some of you may relate. You know, some of you may look at me and go, man, that guy's got it rough, man. Every time he preaches, he just talks about how rough his life is. Well, some of you relate. You've been there. You know where I'm at. You've got that inside of you and you've had life hit you and you've had stuff happen in your life and you've got this hard exterior wrapped around it and you're just trying to protect yourself from getting hurt. And I understand. But God says, you know what? Take my yoke because my burden is light. And you'll find rest for your weariness. Your soul will find rest. And as we're working, we can break those open. And we can pull that seed out and we can begin to germinate that seed inside of you, this seed of the fruit of the Spirit. We can begin to germinate that inside of you. But I want to tell you, there's so much comfort. My whole attitude changed this week. I was scared to death on Friday to come preach this. I was ready this morning. I was up at 6 o'clock this morning, raring to go. I was ready. I hadn't had a nervous bone in my body today. Because there is so much comfort. There's so much safety and security in that gentleness that God has. And he wants to use it with you today. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you for an opportunity to get to come and to speak your word this morning, God, in your church, in front of your people, God. And I pray that this message laid on somebody's heart today. I pray that it spoke to somebody today, God, that's going through something, God, that they have this tough exterior wrapped around them inside and they're trying to protect themselves from being hurt. They're trying to protect themselves and they struggle with love or they struggle with joy or they struggle with peace or they struggle with patience or kindness or self-control or gentleness and they struggle with these fruit, God, and they got this hardened shell wrapped around it. And you're just saying, take on my yoke, for it's easy. You'll get rest. You don't have to do this on your own. When you do it under your own strength, you're going to fail. But with me, when you get weak, my strength is made perfect. God, I pray that you speak to us today. God, I pray that you go to one today that's struggling with this, God, and I pray that you speak into them today. God, I pray that they come forward and that they seek help, that they get prayer that they need, that they get love that they need, God, that they come and connect with us down here.